The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise Lord Christ.
2 weeks ago, we entered into a deeper meditation upon the Eucharist and the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And this week, we're going to continue that because there's just so much there. It's impossible, really, to talk about it all at one time. And we could go on for an entire year and still not cover it all. But it's good for us to return to those things very, very often because it reminds us of what a great blessing we've been able to participate in, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And as we remember, I mentioned, and we were taught, that it is Calvary once again taking place before our eyes. That it's not just a show or a ritual or just, you know, a bunch of gestures and movements, but it is actual Calvary taking place once again as God had planned from the beginning of time. And so it's much more than just a ritual. It is the crucifixion. It is the shedding of blood. It is the sacrifice once again offered for us. And the meal aspect of the Eucharist, sometimes, unfortunately, that is placed as number one, the most important, and it's not. The meal aspect of the Eucharist really is second to the actual sense of the Eucharist, which is sacrifice. That's why we call it the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, not the Holy Meal of the Mass, or the Holy Banquet of the Mass. It's called the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass because, for a very simple reason, unless you have a victim, unless you have something offered up, you have no meal. So the victim takes place first. The sacrifice takes place first. And we eat of the fruit of that sacrifice, of that victim, of Christ who said, "This is my body, this is my blood, which will be given up for you." So thanks to his victimhood, thanks to his sacrifice, we have the meal. We are able to take part in the Eucharist, receive Holy Communion. And so the sacrifice is number one. That is the most important aspect of it, realizing what it is we're witnessing. We're witnessing once again Christ died for us. We're witnessing once again the passion that Christ went through for us. Back when I was in Chicago, we used to help out once in a while at neighboring parishes, you know. And we got a call from a parish not too far away from us. And in spite of our 9 Sunday Masses, we said, "Okay, yeah, we'll take yours too." And so I went to help at that parish for a weekend in between our other Masses. And in Chicago, there's a very, very clear difference between parishes, I guess you'd say. Parish I was at, we were a much more traditional, old-school Catholic parish. You know, devotions, Eucharistic adoration, lots of Masses, lots of confessions, that kind of stuff. Nothing spectacular. Just very, very old-school. And the majority of the parishes around us were a much more progressive nature, I guess you'd say. And I remember I got invited to say Mass on a Sunday, and I showed up, and I brought my own vestments and things like that, because I like my own stuff. Wore it, not a big deal, said Mass the best I could. And after Mass, as always, you know, you're greeting people at the door. You have people coming out saying, "Oh, thank you very much for coming." People who act like you're not there as well, just walking by you. And then there's the third group, the people that have a bone to pick. And I remember one woman and another person she was with came to Mass, and the first words out of her mouth were, "You must belong to one of those traditional orders." I said, "No, I don't. I belong to a Polish order. I work in the diocese." "Oh, because by the way you're dressed, I would have thought so." I said, "Well, no, it's just I like old stuff. You know, it's not a problem, big deal." Not a problem. Not the first time I've heard that. Didn't bother me in the slightest. But then the next thing was what really, we had a head-on collision there for a moment. When She said to me, well, you know, you don't smile during the Mass. She told me, I don't smile enough during the Mass. I don't laugh. I don't smile during the consecration, that I'm not a happy enough person at the altar. And this is where we had a train wreck, slight one. You know, because still trying to keep things under control, but at the same time seeing that this person is coming from a base that is completely different than mine. Completely different way of looking at things, completely different way of understanding. And unfortunately, a real lack of understanding for the Eucharist. That's what it was. And then I had to just go on and explain to her, this is why I don't smile during the consecration. Because it is the most sacred and sublime and solemn moment in the history of the world. A greater moment than creation itself. When we see God, the one who created heaven and earth, sacrifice himself for us. Greater than the act of creation is the Eucharist. Because the act of creation was just making something. The Eucharist is Christ sacrificing himself. God making himself a victim for the sake of his people. And this is why it's not appropriate to laugh or joke about it. Because it is the most holy experience that we will ever take part in the entire course of our lives. And every single time we take part in the Holy Mass, we just realize we're taking part in a moment that is outside of time and space because it involves God directly. And God has no time or space. God is not limited. And so by taking part in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we're taking part in something that is literally out of this world, that goes above and beyond everything that exists. That's why it's so solemn, so holy, because we're taking part in a literal miracle, the greatest miracle in the history of the world. And that God blesses us enough to allow us to be there. That's the kicker, because who of us has earned it? None of us. And we remind ourselves of that fact after communion when we say, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter into my room. I don't deserve it. I can't repay you for this. I've done nothing to earn such a great sacrifice. You have no reason to do it for me because you gave me everything I have as it is. But then we add on right after that, but only say the word, Lord, even though I know I'm not worthy, I trust, love, and believe in you. That you do it because you care. Because you love more than I do. And especially, you know, as a priest, realizing that they've given a task and something to do from God himself in spite of the abject spiritual poverty that I have. The brokenness, the humanity, the faults, the failures, and everything else you're carrying with you. And the prayers of thousands and thousands of people around the world who long to see Christ. That you're carrying it all with you, that it's heavy, there's a weight there. Making you realize that this is the most solemn experience of your life. Everything else is nothing compared to that. And here we have the great tragedy of a lot of people who are very willing to skip Mass. I see it a lot. Even some of my own friends did it. They didn't tell me about it after that because I told them why they shouldn't. But I've seen it happen a lot. Because someone's going on vacation or there's a sporting event of some sort. Somebody's on a team. And so we have to put that first. That can wait. And so it's very easy to give up the Mass then when it's not that important. It's very easy to organize the Mass around my life rather than my life around the Mass. In our solar system, our cosmos, we have the sun in the middle and the planets in a chain almost in relation to the sun. And the sun spins around, and thanks to its gravitational pull and its power, we have light, heat, warmth, minerals, but also gravity in our world, which helps us to spin at a certain speed, which keeps everything in order on the Earth. As the Earth, as people of the Earth, we cannot go to the sun and say, today you are going to spin around me. We can't do it. It doesn't work. The Earth cannot cause the sun to spin around it. The sun caused the Earth to spin around. And we can't go to the sun and just say, you know what, today's different. I have different plans today. I've organized things differently. You're going to spin around us for a while, sun. Good luck. And it doesn't work for a very simple reason. The sun has the power and the weight and the pull to cause the Earth to spin. What would happen if the sun was off kilter by half an inch or an eighth of an inch or a thousandth of a millimeter? It pushes out of whack every single planet in the solar system. Everything else is pushed off because of that, because the sun is off. And this interesting, this beautiful weather we're having, you know. Yesterday, today, it's beautiful outside. The sun's shining, it's warm, it's very spring-like, and we want to be out there in that weather. We enjoy it. It feels so good. When just last week, Monday and Tuesday, was absolutely horrible. We had rain and sleet, and it was cold and dark. Nobody wanted to be out in that weather. We would have all preferred to stay inside, closed up inside where it's warm and safe. And where yesterday and today we want to be outside. Even if it's only for a moment, just to bask in the sun and the warmth and the beauty. The effects that the sun has upon us and upon our world. It changes everything. It changes absolutely everything about us. But 1 week ago, we didn't want to be outside. Now we do. Thanks to the presence of that light and the heat that the sun gives us. That it's kept its place in the solar system and we've kept spinning around it. Thanks to that, we have this beautiful weather. Thanks to that, we get just enough rain, snow, heat, cold, ice, so on, so forth, just enough to survive. And if we were to try to change that, what would happen? We all suffer. We would all suffer because of that. If we tried to just tell the sun, you're no longer in charge. Or if we wanted to, let's say, let's move one planet closer, one planet further away, and further away, and further away, because it's too hot, it freezes. The fact that we're in just the right spot to live on this planet, more than just chance. But that shows the effect that that one thing can have on everybody else. And here we have the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass in the center, the sun, the literal sun, and our lives and our worlds spinning around it. And the further away we get, just like with a planet in the solar system, the less life is going to be present there. Because it's moving away from the source. That's the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And we should organize everything around it, rather than it around everything else. And the same is true, for instance, you know, you buy a present for somebody, for a child in particular, for one of your own children, a niece, a nephew, a grandchild, a neighbor's child, buy them a present, you know. And you give it to them and you're happy, you got them something, you feel good about it. And we like to watch them first, how they're going to treat it. And if they treat it good, that's great. But then eventually we see that they don't care about it too much. And they start ragging on it, beating on it, and then we get a little perturbed. Then eventually they break it. And then we feel pretty bad about that. We get angry even sometimes, you know. Because we sacrificed. We gave something of our own. Time, talent, money, whatever. We offered something. We sacrificed something of ours to give them something. And when they mistreat it, we get angry about it. Because they feel like they don't appreciate their sacrifice. They don't appreciate it. We're being used. And we don't like that. We don't feel that they respect that gift, the great sacrifice that we had to make to give them that. How much more so with Christ and us, the Mass and us, the greatest sacrifice in the history of the world. And how much more right would Christ have to be indignant about us not treating it the way we should? With awe and utter and complete amazement that we are allowed. And we are so blessed to be that close to God. The only sacrifice that has the power to bring salvation. And it's not just something temporal, like with a present or a toy. It's eternal. It's forever. The prize that Christ, the gift that Christ wants to give us. And so today, let us ask our Heavenly Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to increase our respect and our love for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, for the Eucharist. And help us to build a solid devotion, a solid spiritual life. You're building a house, you want a good foundation. Concrete is preferable because it's solid. And if you really want to have a good, solid foundation, you put some rebar in there, some steel in the concrete. Then it's going to stand. It can live through a hurricane. Because it's got a good foundation. You build a good house on that. But if you're going to build a foundation, one half concrete and the other half pea gravel, eventually one half of the house is going to sink. And then you're going to have problems. Foundation is going to start to separate, the house is going to start to crack in the middle because half of the foundation is good, half is bad. And if we are looking to build a solid life, spiritual life first and foremost, but also temporal life in relationships with other people, we have to build it on a solid foundation. Holy Mass, Eucharistic Adoration. Everything is built upon that. And if we're missing either one of those, the house is going to start to lean eventually. And so let's avoid that. Let's take advantage of the offering that Christ brings to us. Let's let our world revolve around that sun. And now I would ask the parents and godparents and Emma Grace to please step forward.